So reflective teachings, what I read this morning, that I mean, it was fulfillment of desire is misery, right? You think, that's ridiculous. You tell that to someone in Baghdad, or East Kenya or somewhere, then it's absurd. So remember, they're reflective teachings, they're not absolute teachings. They're applying to something about consciousness. And again, for the doctrinaire mind, people who just take positions, they take these things absolutely, and then they're just gobbledygook, they make no real sense. So hopefully these kinds of readings are, I like that kind of radical statement, because it really twists around the way people usually think about things, and then that's what its purpose is. It is for reflection, it's not for taking positions. So in the Bengali tradition, some of the mystical poetry there, the awareness is known as the universal mother, and in some of the Tibetan traditions, awareness is known as the mother of the Buddhas, which is true, isn't it? Here's one from a poem from the Bengali tradition. So Ma Tara is like this, the universal mother, which is, well, you see, the diamond essence of awareness. Ma Tara, you are truly the exalted one, the essence of awareness. But are you aware of the foolish poet who sings this song? You indeed are the radiant truth, the sun that dissolves like morning mist, the illusory suffering of conscious beings. But what about my persistent misery? Revelatory experience flows to devout practitioners from the mother of the universe. But consider what mother bestows on me. During morning meditation, I worry about livelihood. At noon prayer, I think about delicious food. While practicing contemplation in the evening, my mind wanders at random among events of the day. Goddess Tara, I ask you frankly, will you ever allow this distracted consciousness any sustained vision of your reality? The only visionary gift granted me is the viewpoint of arbitrary convention in this fascinating vision I am constantly absorbed. The deeper I plunge into thought, the more I realize I cannot know you by thinking, O blissful mother beyond speech and mind. This desperate seeker of truth cries out, Ma, Ma, daughter of the mystic mountain, you dance holding the brilliant gem of realization, but when I try to grasp the diamond essence of awareness, it appears to turn into common stone. Like that. And that's the problem with the stuff we get distracted with. It can be so fascinating. Anyway, a little bit on one way of looking at right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration, the three aspects of the path which we're working with. This is one way to look at it. Perhaps you find yourself at a bus stop looking at someone who strikes you as especially nervous or impatient. It interests you very much. You simply look and you observe that the more the nervousness is articulated, the more relaxed you find yourself. When you become more and more the absolute silent observation, you uncover more and more of the observed. At first the observed is emphasized, but your observing faculty is so strong that you are taken by it, and you feel yourself in a dimension of stillness that you never experienced before. It is very important. So in any object, any emotion, any sight, any sound, it's the holding of the mind in that open awareness that you're taken by the open awareness. Whereas the other way around is, you know, we're always seeking objects, looking for objects to fulfill us. When observation becomes more and more relaxed and memory does not come in, we really look at something. Then attention automatically unfolds and becomes increasingly without tension. There is no expectation. There is no anticipation. We find ourselves in an observation which is completely dimensionless. Real observation is a very important faculty which we must learn. Generally, observation is polluted by memory and thoughts, comparison, judging, and so on. When the observer remains as the controller, when he looks to take something of the observed, then the observer can never discover itself. Real observation is innocent observation, we're known as observing, and there is no intention. Observation is welcoming, is openness. Make sense? So in the like if I'm observing the breath with the intention of becoming peaceful, that very intention, that very volition, I'm seeking something else. I'm not really looking at the breath. If I have some aversion to discomfort, and then I'm observing the discomfort with the intention to get rid of the discomfort, I'm not observing the discomfort. If a difficult bit of emotional history comes up into consciousness and I'm practicing to get beyond it, or to purify it, or to get rid of it, which would be quite natural, you know, that's the way it was. But that very intention behind it would not allow the observation of it. So if you consider the Four Noble Truths, and the third noble truth is cessation of desire, that's what we're really trying to observe as we're meditating, not just the object, but the desire. The desire to get, the desire to become, the desire to organize, the desire to figure out. So if you're going through sort of a doubting phase, am I doing it right? Just to sit in not knowing. So you have the whole Zen tradition, Korean Zen, of don't know mind, which sounds kind of goofy, doesn't it? Don't know mind. But what they're pointing to is even the desire to know is simply an object. And if you can just notice that, then the doubt ceases, and then you're not caught in questions and answers. People say who get caught in questions and answers, they doubt, they get an answer. They get another doubt. They get an answer. So it goes back and forth. Now that, you can't apply that to computer programming. You know, that's a spiritual kind of consideration. It's not a consideration about computer programming. You just have to get the program done, right? So, you know, it has a certain area of relevance. So whatever arises in consciousness is as it is, and how can I come to a sense of relaxed attention, ease of being, open awareness. This is a kind of language that I certainly find helpful. Receptive awareness, presence, non-becoming, non-annihilation. This is sort of, it's quite subtle. It's quite difficult. In say like a body awareness, what you'll notice is that sometimes you come from the head. You're sort of kind of trying to find your body. So you're very much up here, looking for something. But actually your head is a part of awareness too, isn't it? So when I said, you notice that little sweeping thing I did, I went through the senses first. You can actually notice your senses, it's like you're behind them. And then, like in body awareness, you become much more a witness to the flow of this energy form. Whereas if you're really striving to see something or to feel something, then you'll find your head gets tight and your eyes get tight because you're trying to see something. You're literally looking for something. We're not looking for anything. We're just coming back to being aware. So it's very subtle and very simple. But our minds are complex. That's the challenge. And desire mind is very tricky, isn't it? It's got all kinds of neat little games it plays on us. So I've kind of pumped out a lot of ideas, and so you have the something quite vigorous like deep breathing and getting the posture going that can bring energy. You have something quite detailed like the scanning of the body we went through. Then you have things like which relate to the heart, to come to the heart. And then very, very, very ordinary, simple, expansive things like space, listening, choiceless awareness. They all have their relevance. Now, which one you want to do, that's up to you now to experiment, because any more suggestions, you'll get indigestion. But the principle behind them, right? The principle of simple awareness, and how can I just sustain that simple awareness for spans of time? We have a lovely afternoon ahead of us of 4 hours of simple awareness. And if you could see that, that's the determination, right? Not to become, but to remember, to awaken, and see if I can stay connected to the way things are for spans of time. Which is not a becoming, it's an awakening, awakening. Okay, shall we go for it? No.